and welcome to the 25th episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. This week, we spoke with Ethan Haas, a young adult who is living the dream, studying abroad in Spain, and training to run the Madrid Marathon, until his leg and hip pain turned out to be more than just side effects from training, and was actually a multiple myeloma diagnosis.
So to start, can you kind of tell our audience a little bit about the symptoms that led up to you going to the doctor and ultimately receiving your multiple myeloma diagnosis?
Yeah, the symptoms that I was feeling with my multiple myeloma diagnosis is different symptoms that one can feel. And mine was consistent of bone pain, specifically in my hip. And the reason for this is I had just gone back from studying abroad in Spain. This was spring 2013. I had just run a Madrid Marathon rock and roll. And upon coming back from my studying abroad, I was still having this hip pain that just became to really be debilitating in the sense that I could barely put any weight on it come June of that summer. And I'd always played sports back in high school and throughout college and just thought that it should some type of nick, something with the tendon or whatnot. And then when seeing the doctor, I thought it'd be a good idea to get an x-ray of this. And it was actually just right around this point, July 3rd, 2013, I went in for an x-ray. Obviously, right before 4th of July, and spent just a couple hours of getting an x-ray. I was called by my doctor locally in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, saying that there was something suspicious, something potentially serious going on in your hip that definitely required more evaluation. And so then at that point, it was decided to go down to Brigham and Women's in Boston to get this severe hip pain looked at. And there was something suspicious on my femoral head, and after a biopsy, it was indicated coming up on July 19th, it showed that I had a solitary plasmacytoma, and both during the instance of that phone call on July 3rd and then a few weeks later, when I got that news, it just completely shifted everything for me. I obviously had no idea what a plasmacytoma was, nor what eventually would be multiple myeloma. And everything that I knew going up to that moment just completely changed within an instant. Everything, all my concerns about summer school and friends and what I was going to do going into my senior year in college just became really insignificant in that moment, as I was just given this new identity in a way, not knowing what the uncertainty of this diagnosis of a solitary plasmacytoma meant. And after getting that news that I had this plasmacytoma just in my hip, they wanted to do further testing, further scans, and so I got a PET scan at Dana-Farber, and it showed that I had a smaller lesion on my skull, which is often what can occur as well with multiple myeloma patients, bone lesions, fractures, and so the diagnosis went from solitary plasmacytoma to then multiple myeloma, which at my age, I was just 22 at the time. I just turned 22. I was one of the youngest that they'd seen at Dana-Farber. And that news left me feeling incredibly isolated, as, of course, I went on the internet to try and find others that may have had this similar diagnosis, and they were few and far between. So all of that culminated to just confusion of what was going to happen next.
And so being 22 when you received this diagnosis, it's something we talk about pretty frequently here at Cure is patients and starting their quote-unquote new normal. How did you kind of go about starting that and entering this kind of new life with multiple myeloma?
That was something that really hit me and really resonates with me, because normalcy was something that I had a lot of difficulty trying to obtain. I think it's difficult as it is for a young adult diagnosed with cancer, is it's such a crossroads of trying to kind of go outside the nest and start our own life, start our careers, and it's such a developmental piece to that stage and trying to figure ourselves out, what our identity is, what interests us, and then to have cancer be thrown into the mix. It left me feeling very isolated, and I had heard somebody say refer to feeling like you're stranded on an island, and that's kind of how it felt. I was fortunate enough to be able to go back to school for my senior year, take a modified course load, and even though I was around so many people, and this was one thing that enabled me to have normalcy, was have peers, have supporters around me, and try and live as normal of a life as I could, that it was still very difficult for me to then be able to relate and connect to these peers who I now drastically felt so different from. So, and to answer your question, the things that I tried most was exactly that, being with friends, being with family, trying to talk about things outside of cancer, while also trying to find a balance of talking about what I was going through to let other people in so that they can, it didn't seem so scary for them. And I think that's a really important piece, is just trying to do what you can to think about the future, do the next step, and trying to really make sure that even though you have cancer, in my case I had cancer, and in a way it's still a huge part of me, it isn't completely me. And I think keeping those other pieces to your life that you either had previously or that you want to have moving forward is a really, really important factor in trying to handle all this.
I know you said you kind of, after your diagnosis, you went online and tried to find support groups and some answers. What are some ways that physicians or advocacy groups can help support this in better ways and provide more support for individuals that are going through something similar that you went through?
Yeah, I think that one way, and it was hard in my instance because there weren't as many people who are my age with multiple myeloma. But I think one thing that advocacy groups and people can do in general is try and have exactly that, like a support network that is a common place for others to be able to reach out to for support. So, and what I mean by that is, along with the diagnosis itself, obviously your physicians are talking to you about best treatment options and what this is going to mean, to simultaneously have them have that communication also for the mental and emotional pieces to it, to let you know that there are resources out there besides for just the clinical aspect, that there's emotional, there's other support groups that you can connect with, other young adults that have been through it, even if it isn't your own specific type of cancer, that there are others out there. And I think that would encourage not only the patient to reach out and find others, but also for other patients, because I know in my instance, like, it's hard to talk about this at first. It's hard to be able to grapple with it. So then once somebody knows that you're not alone and there's others out there that can either have the same experiences, whether it be looking for jobs, intimacy, school, family, having a solid foundation network across the boards of different types of cancer and different experiences, I think it's something that really can help a young patient. And I know that there are a lot of really good ones out there that I've been able to connect with.
Now, another maybe a piece of advice that you could offer, obviously, usually cancer diagnoses, there's a stigma surrounding it that it's an older person's disease. What advice would you have to offer other young adults to help them realize that this can happen at any age, essentially?
I would say that it has to go with uncertainty. As you said, yeah, there is the stigma that cancer mostly happens with people who are older. However, life is uncertain, unfortunately, and things can happen when you least expect it. And that is exactly the case that happened for me. Not only was I diagnosed with cancer, but a really rare form of blood cancer in multiple myeloma. And I think it's really challenging for a patient to walk into an oncologist office and see much older people who are there and feel that sense of, I'm so different. I don't feel like this shouldn't have happened to me. And that's a really hard thing to try and understand. It took me years, and it's what, the four years ago, I was in the stem cell transplant room watching games of the World Cup. And now 4 years later, it really took me a lot of time to really be able to put my understanding to what this all meant into perspective. And so I think being able to really reach out to others is just is so crucial. It's so important. And I think that being able to have a balance of being clinically educated and being your own advocate while you are at the doctor's office is really is such a key piece to all this, to feel comfortable in asking the questions that you might be nervous asking, because it is overwhelming, it is daunting to be there. But the more informed that I think a cancer patient, a young adult, is with their diagnosis, that translates into, for my case, a feeling of empowerment and knowing your own self, your diagnosis a little bit more. And then being able to use that to try and connect with others for support. Because that's really, I think, what got me through a lot of this. All of it was the support that I've had from friends, family, and specifically other young adults, multiple myeloma or not, that the feelings that I felt weren't really a whole lot different from what other people were feeling. And at the end of the day, we're trying to do the best job we can at moving forward, even though it seems like we get knocked back a couple of rows most of the time. It's like two steps forward, one step forward, two steps back. But then there's a point that happens after all these treatments and all these setbacks and these struggles emotionally, physically, in relationships, where things start to make sense a little bit more. And I think that was definitely the case for me. And unfortunately, the only thing, the only really remedy for that is just time, is to be patient with yourself, patient with friends and family, and just know that this is something you didn't ask for, and you wouldn't ask for it again. I certainly wouldn't, but I wouldn't take back any of the lessons and the learning experiences that have happened for me along the way, because it's put me on a path that I wouldn't be on otherwise.
Great. So to close it all together, I know we've kind of talked about symptoms and treatment and diagnosis and feats and new normals. What is the biggest piece of advice you'd have for another person going through the same journey that you did?
The biggest piece of advice that I would have for somebody going through this is two things. One is that it's a marathon. And what I mean by that is like a marathon, like it's a long race. And I know for myself, like you get really excited about the moment where chemo stops, where after 6 months you're going to stop, and it's that push to the finish, but it doesn't really finish right there. There's things that are still happening, whether you know it or not, that take a long time to try and figure out. And I think the one thing, the biggest piece of advice in that I would give somebody is that that's normal, that even though the situation, there's nothing normal about it, the emotions and experiences and confusion that you're feeling, it's unfortunately, it is normal. That's the normal piece to all of this. And it's scary. It's really, really scary, and that's okay. And when those times are really scary, to reach out, to have those core people in your camp, friends, family, or other young adults that you can talk to, you can confide in, because it's a lot. It's a lot to carry on your own shoulders. And to express what you're feeling is something that inevitably will be able to help you make sense of this journey. And you won't, and in that sense, you won't feel so alone, because you aren't alone. I was never alone, and I felt like that, but just as long as I kept on moving forward and continuing on this path, it's a long road, it's a marathon, but the feeling of accomplishment after you can feel deep inside you that the dust is all settled, that's when you're going to see really how strong you are.
Great. And is there anything that we haven't touched upon that you think our audience should know about?
Last thoughts that I have on this, and it's something I made a mention to earlier, is that this isn't a easy time for any young adult as we're venturing out into the world, and it's going to really create a lot of kind of incongruence within oneself as you're seeing other peers moving forward. And I think the last thing that I would mention is just as hard as it is to not compare yourself. I know we have a natural tendency to do so. I certainly did, and I still do to a degree. But with this diagnosis, it's your own story, it's your own voice. And that's a special thing if you can use it in the right way. If you can know that this is something that is going to propel you into a direction that you wouldn't have been on otherwise, and that there's a lot of silver linings to being diagnosed with cancer as a young adult, and when those moments arise, to embrace them.
Join us next week when we speak with Eli B. Bout, a Wyoming senator and two-time cancer survivor. We'll hear from him about what helped him through his diagnosis and how his health issues shaped his politics. The Cure Talks Cancer Podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.